you can get caught up in it. You can, like, you know, that energy, that chemistry is going so well. You can feel like, oh, you know, I love this person, and can say that like really fast. You can, it can go really fast.
Dang, you're trying to hurt me over here.
I'm not trying to hurt you.
You're trying to hurt me.
No,
man.
No. I feel like
this is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith,
and I'm Zavi Benjamin.
All right, so it is a new episode, and I'm so excited for this one. We're doing a little bit, something a little bit different today, so
yeah,
that's exciting. Before we get into it, we want to tell you that we now have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook community. If you are not in the Facebook group yet, please join us. Yeah. We'd love to see you in there. Today, we are doing questions. Our first audience Q&A.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting, right?
I know. It's really exciting.
So we have a few different questions in here. We are going to try to answer them to the best of our ability. I mean, do you want to give any disclaimers? Like,
I mean, it's just our personal opinions.
This is not legal advice.
Yeah.
We are not therapists.
Right. Yeah. You might want to seek professional help if you're having these problems.
You're having any problems, feel like if you need any support, you know, we were talking in our last episode, right, about transitioning from monogamy to polyamory, about seeking support. Like, yeah, you can always use the support for any of these things.
Right.
But it's a good thing to just say that, yes, we are not experts per se.
Yeah.
But we are very excited to answer your questions. So should we get to the first one?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Here is the first question. How do you deal with the possibility that a metamor may potentially cowboy or cowgirl your partner away from you? My anxious mind needs reassurance, but is too anxious to ask for it from my partner. Trying to self-soothe, but I keep worrying about it. I don't trust easily, except I do trust my partner, just not the metamor. Please help.
LOL. Right. At the end, that's what they said, not what I'm saying.
Right, that's
disclaimer.
Right. Yes, that was part of the question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to take a crack at answering this question first?
Yeah, so first, metamor is your partner's partner.
Right, and what is cowgirling or cowboy?
I mean, I guess how, I think you described that better than I did.
Okay.
How would you describe a cowboy?
Or a cowgirl is someone who is pretending to be non-monogamous, maybe, or secretly wants a monogamous relationship with someone. And so they will date somebody polyamorous and then try to establish a monogamous relationship between them. So that's cowboy or cowgirling. It's, you know, stealing your partner in that way.
Kind of like roping them and trying to pull them away from their relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's why it's called cowgirling or cowboying.
Okay.
Yep.
I think for me, this one was, I have felt those feelings before. So I feel like it's very identifiable. Sometimes you don't know the other partner. And so you can experience those feelings like really easily.
Yeah.
But also sometimes you know the other partner and they're like, oh, wait, what are they trying to do? And you experience those feelings too.
Right.
So I think the best thing that I would say is talk to your partner, because it's how you're feeling between your relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing that you can do, is just talk to them about how you're feeling and explain how you're feeling and why you're feeling that way. I know you may not want to out the other person, but that's just how you feel. So you have to tell your partner how you're feeling.
What do you mean by out the other person?
Like, you might not want to say, like, I think they're trying to steal you away from me, but I would say it in a way like, I don't know if they have the right motives. Maybe you could say like, I don't know what they necessarily are thinking with it. So I think as far as outing the other person, I feel like you might not want to say like you feel this way about the other person or you think badly of their partner, their other partner, but just say this is how you're feeling. And maybe get that reassurance from your partner about your relationship and that you can be secure with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're giving a lot of great advice here, because I think one of the key things about this question was like, my anxious mind needs reassurance, but is too anxious to ask for it from my partner. And I think that's one of the hardest things about non-monogamy is that, like, yeah, it can be scary. It can be very vulnerable, honestly.
Yeah.
To tell your partner, like, oh, I'm feeling weird about this situation. Here's how I'm feeling about it. Ultimately, I think there has to be trust in your partner here and the realization that there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Because you can tell your partner and you can tell them that this is how you're feeling. I would highly suggest that this person do that. Talk to your partner about what it is that you're feeling and these feelings of, you know, the potential cowboy or cowgirl. Because again, I think it's important to establish whether that is a feeling that you have on your own or whether that's a feeling that maybe they also share.
Right.
Like maybe they could also start to feel like, you know what, I am starting to feel like this person might want something monogamous. Maybe I'm not interested in that. Again,
yeah.
I think having open communication about it is super important. And then ultimately, if the person, your partner, decides to continue dating this person, trust that they're being honest with you, because
yeah.
at the end of the day, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know? You can only take people at their word. Right. So.
And you can't control anyone else either.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of hard, is like you give up the, I mean, it's not, you can't control how other people feel or their actions.
Right.
So you kind of have to just let that go.
Well, you see, and I think that this is what's so fascinating about polyamory. And I think with your Freudian slip, I think you kind of gave it away, right? Which is that polyamory forces you to give up the perceived control that you have over your partner
yeah.
when you are in a monogamous relationship. And that is scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary as fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's the reality.
Yeah.
Whether you're polyamorous or monogamous, you don't control your partner. And
right.
ultimately, your partner gets to make decisions that might or might not go with what you want.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's scary about this question, is that, yes, talk to them, but ultimately, if they continue to date this person, you know, you're gonna have to trust them, that they're taking their commitment to you seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just have to trust them for their word and their actions. And yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about the other person.
Yeah, I don't think someone can steal someone away from you, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what actually happens.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So our next question is, are couples seeking a third automatically unicorn hunters?
This was a good one. If you haven't watched our episode on unicorn hunters or listened to our episode on unicorn hunters, definitely do that. And that was episode 12 or 11, I think. But I thought this was a good question, because it was something that we kind of touched on in that episode, but I think we could probably expand on it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I think, if anything, I don't know, maybe this opinion will get me canceled, because because I feel like our couples seeking a third automatically unicorn hunters.
How would you answer it?
I feel like the answer is yes. I feel like the answer is yes. Because ultimately, like, it's not... And I guess what I would say is that you being a unicorn hunter isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think that is also my cancelable opinion, I guess.
Yeah.
Because here's how I see it. I think if you are seeking a unicorn in that you are seeking that, and you are being honest about that, and there are people who are like, I do not like that. And there are going to be other people who are going to be like, oh, I might be open to that. And so I think, you know, are couples seeking a third automatically unicorn hunters? Yeah. because that's what you're looking for. You are not actually looking for a triad.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
I disagree with that. Like, I think there can be couples looking for a third and want to be a triad where they're all dating each other.
Right. But again, you are going about finding a triad through unicorn hunting means.
But if they're
what it is.
if that's what they're actively seeking, like they, that's what they want is a triad. And they say that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a unicorn hunter because they're not like hunting them down. I feel like some people, some couples can just be open to that and not necessarily actively seeking it. Like they want a triad. They want to have a relationship or they want to be in a throuple, but they're not actually hunting someone down for that. So that's technically what a unicorn hunter is, okay. I feel like.
Okay. I feel like you are getting away from the question. Okay.
Why?
The question is, are couples seeking a third automatically unicorn hunters?
And I say no.
I feel like the answer is yes. I feel like the answer is yes. And again, I feel like the answer is yes because of what we discussed in our previous episode about the fact that, like, if you are trying to go about finding a ethical triad, you know, I say ethical with like quotes in it because it's like everybody decides what ethical means to them. But if you are trying to go about creating a triad
consensually, maybe
consensually, usually that happens with people dating separately and then coming to that agreement of a triad.
Oh,
that it. Again, if you are looking as a couple for a third person,
yeah,
to form a triad, you are still looking at it from the perspective of we are a couple seeking a third person to add to this relationship.
Right.
So that, I feel like okay. That automatically makes you a unicorn hunter.
I get that. Yeah. If that person, if you feel like...
Oh, so now you changed your perspective, eh?
I do, because when you think about it... Like,
is this debate?
If two people think of that person as disposable, like... Oh, we're going to add them to our relationship.
Right.
Or if we can necessarily cut them out and we're still in a relationship, that is still a unicorn hunter because
right.
That they're searching for this person that can be interchangeable.
Yep.
And then that's not a true throuple or triad.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, that if you are looking for this third person as a couple, mm-hmm. It shows that you haven't done the work of decoupling to actually find the triad.
Yeah, and the sad thing
because
is,
because you have to understand that you cannot find the triad as a couple.
Yeah.
That
and
doesn't
most of the
happen
time,
all that super often, I would say.
Most of the time, that's what happens, is that like...
Well, that's the media's representation of what polyamory is, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And that couple will stay intact.
Exactly.
And then not... the one person or the unicorn will stop dating one of them.
Yeah.
And then it breaks out the triad.
Yeah.
And that's usually, then it's like, that it's no longer a triad, it's no longer a throuple. Yeah.
It's just a couple again.
It's just a couple again. Or it's just polyamory again if they're just dating each... Or
the,
it's a V.
The unicorn hunters are the only ones left.
Yeah.
How do you deal with NRE is our next question.
Which, what is NRE?
Well, NRE is referring to new relationship energy. I felt it a few times, I guess. And it's that kind of like giddy feeling that you feel when you're in something new, when you're in a new relationship.
And I felt that too. It's like exciting, like, oh, this is new. You're just learning about this person. You're exchanging energy. You're exchanging your chemistry. You start out with such great chemistry and you want to keep that feeling going. You want to keep that lasting.
It's a high.
It's totally a high.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that like the average NRE or new relationship energy lasts about 6 months. Would
really?
You agree with that or disagree
wow.
with that? Yeah.
That's such a short period of time, don't you feel?
Yeah. It's average wow. 6 months.
Right, right.
But, you know, that can keep going for, or it can be only like 1 month, or it can keep going for years, depending
right.
on how you keep that up,
right.
how often you see each other.
Damn. I think in my relationships, and maybe you and I were outside of this. I don't like because I felt like we had new relationship energy for a while. Don't mm-hmm. you remember? Like
yeah.
it was great. And it
yeah.
was like I felt like it went on for a year at least. Like but I have had other relationships where it has been shorter.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So dealing with NRE can be hard in a polyamorous relationship though.
Why do you think dealing with it is such a hard thing for people? Why do you feel like we get this question?
I think because people in an existing relationship might, when you have that energy with somebody,
yeah.
they might see that and see that other relationship like, oh, they're more in love, you know, in love and everything is great. And sometimes people can neglect their existing relationships.
Right.
Or not put as much into their existing relationships. And that's the problem where the problems can happen. And that's why it's so important to not neglect your existing relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, it can even happen with family and friends. Like, oh, you're in this new relationship. You want to see them all the time. You want to be with them all the time. You're neglecting your other relationships or responsibilities, you know, seeing, you know, even your friends might be like, oh, we don't see you anymore because you're dating this new person.
The monogs face this too.
You're right. Yeah. And you can get caught up in it.
Yeah.
You can get caught up in it. You can like, you know, that energy, that chemistry is going so well. You can feel like, oh, you know, I love this person and can say that like really fast. It can go really fast.
Dang, you're trying to hurt me over here,
I'm not
huh?
No, I feel like that is something that was hard for me because
it's
like
okay. I admit it, I'm a lover boy, okay?
I know, and for me, like saying I love you was such a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially in our relationship, because I didn't grow up saying I love you all the time.
Right.
In my family, to my friends. I would say it, you know, I had friends that I loved. But I wouldn't always say, like, I love you to my family and friends. It was, like, not a word that was tossed around very easily. But I think, like, especially starting with our relationship, it was, like, it's not that, you know, it was so hard for me to say I love you at the beginning of our relationship. But then as time went on, it became easier. And then I think as I realized, like, love is so abundant and can be infinite. And you shouldn't like wait to tell people that you love them because it's such an important feeling with people because it's so important for them to know that you love them and that they love you.
Mm.
So I feel like my understanding of that concept of saying I love you has changed a lot since I was younger to now because I feel like, yeah, you want people to know that you love them. And time is short and you don't want to go without saying it, I feel like, because love is abundant. And so why not tell them? How do you feel about that?
About like telling people you love them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. Going to what we were saying earlier, like I have said that I love people very fast at times. And there have been moments where I regret it later because I feel like, oh, I didn't know enough about this person to have said that. Or I don't know. I have felt just guilty, honestly, about
yeah.
it. So
you've seen both sides of it, saying it fast or saying it.
Right. Well, and I think the way that the way that this ties into NRE is because, again, when you're in that feeling of new relationship energy,
yeah,
all of these emotions and feelings feel heightened and feel like, I don't know. I mean, it feels like you're on a cloud, you know, I don't know. It's a,
yeah,
it's a high, like I said. And so I think at least the way that I would answer this question, how do you deal with NRE? I think carefully with intention.
Yeah.
Because I think what I have come away with is understanding that NRE happens and that keeping that in mind is important because then I think that it helps you express your feelings in a way that doesn't feel inauthentic and doesn't feel like, again, just based on the NRE,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So, for example, I think, you know, what I... like a script in my mind of what I thought is like, I could say, I know that I have really strong feelings right now because of our connection and our chemistry.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to say something that I don't feel, but at the same time, I'm feeling very strongly about you, you know?
Mm.
And so I like, again, being honest, but at the same time, not letting the NRE get carried away, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
and have me say or do things that maybe I'm not ready for yet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And I feel like too, it's also important to keep in mind, like, yeah, if like I see you dating someone new and like you're talking about them all the time or wanting to see them all the time, your other partners can get jealous about that or feel like, oh, they're spending so much time with that person and not enough with me, or maybe they have certain feelings about it. So that's why it's good, important to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Just like keep in mind, like, oh, you don't want to neglect your other relationships.
And I think that you bring up a really good point that NRE is not only about, I guess, being kind and making good decisions in the relationship that you're feeling the NRE in, right? It also is making good decisions outside of that relationship in regards to your already existing commitments. That's so true.
Yeah. And people can get addicted to that feeling and like want to start dating all these new people, be like, they love that feeling of NRE and like, oh, I want to experience that with this person and this person and this person, and can maybe get to having too many relationships and can maybe just get carried away with that. And so that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah.
So next question is, how do I overcome feelings of guilt and shame that may arise from exploring polyamory, especially if my religious upbringing instilled these emotions regarding non-monogamous relationships?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question. I would say again here, please, please go to therapy.
Yeah.
Please go to therapy, because I think a lot of the guilt and shame that arises from exploring polyamory, if you have come from a religious background, is the purity culture, is the fact that sex is a negative thing, is a bad thing. And so I think once you start to question whether that is right and whether you agree with that, I think that helps you overcome these feelings of guilt and shame, because I felt guilt because I thought it was wrong. But once I started to question whether me being a sexual person, me being in touch with my sexuality actually makes me a bad person or reflects badly on my character, then I think it was easier to start kind of undoing these feelings of guilt and shame. What do I have to feel guilty over then?
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to be ashamed about? I was ashamed because, again, I thought that being interested in polyamory, being interested in having multiple emotional and romantic connections that may include sex, was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important to try to identify, where are those feelings coming from? What is that based on? Is it how you truly feel, or is it just how you were raised?
Right.
Is it coming? Where is that coming from?
I mean, this question definitely makes it sound like it's coming from the religious upbringing, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And realizing like, oh, is that truly how I feel? Because I think at the end of the day, it's just, how do you feel about it? And
right.
You shouldn't allow yourself to listen to what society, if it's society that's saying that to you, or where those feelings of guilt and shame are coming from.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're not doing anything wrong, because, again, everyone is consensually agreeing to this and has agreed to it.
Right.
So who would you be doing something wrong against? Or?
Right. Well, and I think what's so, I don't know, I find it admirable about you is that I feel like you felt less of the guilt and the shame. Am I wrong?
Yeah, because I think I always felt like it was not up to anybody else but me, because I was the one who was going to be going through it. I was the one who was going to be experiencing it.
Wow.
So I feel like it's hard at the time to think like you shouldn't care what other people think. But at the end of the day, you really shouldn't. It's how do you feel about it?
Yeah. I just want to empathize with this question a ton.
Yeah.
And just, you know, shout out to this person, because these feelings are very real.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that it's one of those things where guilt and shame can form such a big part of what your personality has been, or how your personality has been formed a lot of times. At least that was the case for me. You know, I think guilt was kind of like an automatic reaction.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. And we also want to thank so much our listeners who submitted these questions. We really hope that our answers were good for you and they help you. If they don't, please don't sue us.
Wow.
If you are interested in sending us a question that you would like us to answer in a future Q&A episode, please submit it in a comment below, or you can send us an email, hello@glampolyam.com. Kel, where can the people find us on the internet?
They can find us at Instagram, on Facebook, or on YouTube, Threads, TikTok, all at Glam Polyam.
Yep, that is correct. And again, remember people, if you have not yet joined our Facebook community, we would love to see you in there. It's going to be great in there. We're going to be doing some special things to get listeners talking to each other and things like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Get yourself a sticker.
Yeah. Still up for kind people.